Welcome to Upworth United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Debbie Weatherspoon. What helps you to be reminded to act according to your values? We reflected on this as children of God, how being purified in hope to be more Christ-like calls us in relationship with our community, with our ecosystems, with our siblings in Christ, and how we practice grace with ourselves as Christ would have with us. We reflected on the power of God's love to help us grow in our walk in faith. May you find blessing in this message and through the music and the celebration of worship.
Unto the Lord I will be singing, singing, singing evermore, evermore God's praises.
Within my heart shall be,
unto the Lord I will be singing.
Before you go, we would love for you to introduce yourself. So, Paul, I have the microphone that Carlos used, and I'm going to, would you introduce yourselves and tell us about your group?
Okay. I'm Gabby Downs, and we're like singing some songs that we learned back in November for the Coastal Honor Choir.
I'm Zoe.
I'm Bridget.
I'm Layla.
Everybody, everybody, praise the Lord.
today's reading is 1 John chapter 3, sections 1 through 7. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Amen.
Okay, friends, I have a question. Do you recall the 1967 film, The Graduate?
Yes.
Yeah? All right. Well, okay, I'll give you a minute to get, here's to you, Mrs. Robinson, in your mind, okay? That's not the sermon topic. But yes, for those of you who might not know, it was a film that featured Dustin Hoffman as Benjamin Braddock, a recent college graduate who receives career advice from Mr. McGuire. He says, I want to say one word to you, just one word. Do you remember what it is? Yes. Exactly, how do you mean? Ben asks. There's a great future in plastics. Think about it, says Mr. McGuire. Well, the plastics industry boomed in the following decades. The older man thought he was providing sound advice, but the young audience took his statement as advice, well, not to do, what not to do. Another theme and generational contradiction in the movie The Graduate is the coming awareness of the environment. The older generation had been responsible for incredible river and land pollution. The new graduates following 1967 moved to genuine things while their parents continued to embrace buying patterns of the early 60s. These new graduates bought cheap but authentic antiques to furnish their new homes, and they began drinking tea collected in the mountains above Boulder, Colorado, now Celestial Seasonings. They started the massive movement back into natural fabrics instead of synthetics. They purchased pre-1940s homes and restored them to the original, and they began to question everything, from chemical production to the use of paper and plastic bags. They started the revolution in thinking about food production, which continues with younger consumers now. So plastic initially meant something harmful to them. But they bought their first small and high mileage cars from Japanese makers made with new, lighter synthetic materials. They also bought lots of stereo equipment with plastic faceplates and knobs and the highest perceived quality brands. They bought lots of plastic toys for their children, way more than they had as children themselves. And over time, these plastic products earned the reputation they deserved: flexible, strong, elegant, practical, and high quality. Plastics made the transformation through experience from something unnatural to something original, neither good nor bad, just different. We would not want to live without many products made of plastic. Of course, some recycling issues with plastic remain, and a few types of plastic are not yet easily recyclable. However, recycling is improving for the most part, while many plastic items cannot be replaced with other materials. Our world would not be the same without modern plastic technology. Is anybody wanting to stop me right there? Hopefully you sniffed that out. I'm quoting from a plastics company's website. Aha. So that's one perspective. Now I'll quote from Creation Justice's document titled Plastic Jesus, which I happen to have right here, Real Faith in a Synthetic World. Quote, a theological conversation on plastic must begin with understanding sin. That wasn't in the plastics company website.
Conventionally, we think of sin as the acts of harm individuals commit, and while this is true, we can't stop there. Sin is also the harm communities and societies commit against the vulnerable amongst themselves, including vulnerable ecosystems. Lack of intent does not equate the lack of harm. That we don't intend to pollute fragile ecosystems and neighborhoods does not absolve us from culpability for the damage our oversized plastic demands creates, end quote. That's another perspective. Today's scripture lesson is about strengthening believers and protecting them against the destructive messages of those who would lead them astray. Balancing personal faith with community responsibilities is made clear in 1 John 3:1-7. 1 John is written in the conviction that the world is coming to an end and that Jesus will soon appear, dividing the children of righteousness from what they said, children of the devil. The writer refers to hope based on our faith. And I know personally that that is where my faith is rooted. I find hope through my faith. My advocacy for social justice comes from my relationship with Jesus Christ. I am energized and encouraged by others who articulate their faith and live it out in relationships and in the work of repair and love. All God wants or desires for this world, I believe, and all that God wants and desires for each of us has not yet come to fruition, but it is on its way. God continually calls us to become holy, and Christ has revealed how to make this happen by love. How important do you feel faith and hope are to live according to your values? What helps you to be reminded to act according to those values? We purify ourselves as He is pure, reads verse 3. With Christ, it is fulfilled. He is pure. For us, it's a process. We purify ourselves in the process of becoming like Christ. This doesn't mean that there's no destination, no striving, but it does mean that we have as much grace with ourselves as Christ would have with us. How much grace is that? See what love, the text begins, that the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. See what love. Do you hear the sense of amazement? Do you hear the joy that is inherent in this mind-blowing concept? How much love that we are children of God, for that is what we are, the very children of God. I was reminded of this when I saw a post on Instagram by Reconciling Ministries network organizer, Reverend Izzy Alvaron. He posted, "My hotel room altar is set up." This is his post for General Conference. He's already arrived in Charlotte. "My hotel room altar is set up. My spiritual practice will be a daily morning ritual to remember my baptism and affirm that I am a child of God, regardless of what the church says." Talk about a person rooted in their faith. Izzy shows up because of his faith in Jesus Christ. His faith calls him to ministry and liberation for all. His post calls Mark Miller's song to mind, of course. No matter what the church says, decisions, pronouncements on you, you are a child. You are a child of God. Our baptismal vow calls us to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of our sin, to accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, to confess Jesus Christ as our Savior, put our whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve him as our Lord, to remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world. Some of you may be familiar with the Pride T-shirt with the message of upholding our baptismal covenant to resist the evils and injustice and oppression within the United Methodist Church in whatever forms they present themselves. It's been said that our birth certificate states our natural identity. Our baptism certificate declares our true identity. By God's love, we are no longer strangers. We are loved, claimed, and redefined as nothing less than God's children. As the General Conference meets these 2 weeks, we sincerely hope that words of exclusion for all God's children will be removed. At the end of the baptism and the reception ritual into the church, there's something the pastor says to the congregation. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. It is a lifelong journey to recognize how deeply loved we are by God and the fullness of who we are, exactly for who we are. As the General Conference begins Tuesday, and as we celebrate the 54th anniversary of Earth Day tomorrow, let's take time for self-reflection and confession. We can hope in God's good gifts, including water, trees, soil, and air. We purify ourselves by changing practices so that we do no harm, but instead do all the good that we can to preserve and protect these good gifts of God. I want to say just one word to you, just one. Love.